please, in your Bibles, turn to Psalm 119, 119th Psalm, page 659 in your Schofield Reference Bible. We'll be reading verses 41 through 48, page 659, verses 41 through 48 of the 119th Psalm. And may we stand, please, all of us standing together for the reading of God's Word. I'd like to ask, please, that we read the verses responsively, taking note of the 45th verse, which is the text verse. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed, and I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. And let's pray. Father, bless, we pray now, and give us attentiveness to this, the most important hour of the week, apart from the hour spent this morning, this hour spent listening to thy word preached. Help us, we pray, and give us diligence to hear and to practice that which we hear. In Jesus' name, amen.
And now, Heavenly Father, we come to the preaching of thy word. I feel this is such a nerve center kind of message. I feel this is one of the heartbeats of the work here. And I sure would like to have the attention of all the people. I pray you'd give it to me. And I pray tonight you'd help us to see clearly, very, very clearly, in a sense, an apology, as they called it in seminary, for a stand that we take. I pray you'd speak to our hearts now in Jesus' name. Amen. When I use the word apology, the Lord knew what I meant, but you didn't. I was talking to him anyway. I don't mean I'm going to apologize tonight for any stands that we take. I'm going to offer what we would call an apology, which means an explanation or defense of a particular stand that we take. In our schools, the girls wear skirts. You'll never go to one of our schools and see, if you see anybody in a pair of pants, a female in a pair of pants, one of our schools, one of our students, one of the faculty members maybe, but not one of the students. You mark it down. If a female's there in a pair of pants, it'll be a visitor. And look at me now. I want to talk to you. I want everybody to hear me. Everybody. Because what I want to say tonight, I'm going to really honest to Pete. I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to preach tonight on standards, but I'm going to explain to you what standards are all about and what the purpose is. We insist our young men get haircuts. And if you see a person around here doesn't have a tapered haircut, young man, tapered haircut, you rest assured one thing, he doesn't go to any of our schools. You rest assured another thing, that he's a member here. He's not wearing long bushy-tail haircut or a ponytail haircut or a Shirley Temple permanent. He's not wearing that with the permission of this church. And though he certainly is welcome here, probably more welcome than others because we want to help him. We have standards. We have rules. For example, our youth activities, we allow culottes. But the rule is, and by the way, if you're in charge of any of our young people, whether it's in a school or youth activity, anything, and you don't see this is enforced, then you're helping to break the rule. And that is, if you can tell that they're culottes, then they're not within the rule. If you can tell it's not a dress or a skirt, then it's not the kind. I'm not talking about just some bushy Bermuda shorts. And if you're not enforcing that, then you're not cooperating with the rule that's been here for 23 years. And now I'm not preaching tonight on those standards. I'm trying, whatever the standards are, I'm going to show you tonight the importance of standards. Now, speaking on the subject, I will walk at liberty. And I'm going to explain to you tonight what this liberty is all about. I'd like for everybody in this house, everybody, to listen carefully. I'd like for all the boys and girls to put down your pencils and pens and color books. I'd like for you to, really honest to goodness, listen to Brother Howells tonight in a very special way. I'd like for all of you in Hammond Baptist Grade School, Hammond Baptist Junior High School, Hammond Baptist High School, Howells Anderson College, all of us, I'd like for you to listen very, very carefully. You know, people say, well, that's legalism. Now, if I were you, I wouldn't say that out loud. Somebody might find out how ignorant you are about the Bible. That's not legalism. Legalism is not God's people. If that's legalism, then the Ten Commandments are legalism. The Ten Commandments say, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not bear false witness against our neighbor. No, that's not legalism. Legalism is when you take the standards and make them a part of the salvation itself. That's what legalism is. And anybody says, well, all that legalism. No. The Christians in Galatia were guilty of legalism because they were coming back and adding things to the plan of salvation. They called it the patched veil. The veil in the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, and they came back and patched that veil and made holy days and holy seasons a part of salvation, and that's legalism. The Colossian people were guilty of legalism because they tacked something besides grace through faith on to salvation. Now, anybody that preaches that salvation is by faith plus baptism is preaching legalism. Anybody that preaches that salvation is by grace through faith plus good works is preaching legalism. Anybody that preaches that salvation is by grace through faith plus confession and plus the sacraments is preaching legalism. Anything more or less than you're saved by faith, not in what you do, but what Jesus did on the cross, then anything more than that is legalism. But ladies and gentlemen, living right after you get saved is not legalism. Having things you can do and can't do, or supposed to do and not supposed to do after you get saved, that's not legalism. You see, if you say that these things, for example, the Bible said it's wrong. Are you listening? The Bible said it's wrong to drink, but now liquor. But now, if you say you've got to quit drinking liquor to get saved, that's legalism. If you say because you are saved and because you're a member of the body of Christ, you ought not to drink liquor, then that's not legalism. That's obeying the commands of God, you see. So, for example, the Bible says that we're supposed to not take the name of the Lord God in vain. And if you say you're saved when you quit cussing, and quitting cussing has something to do with you getting saved, then that's legalism. But if you say you get saved, and because you're saved, you're not supposed to use God's name in vain, then that's just obeying the Word of God. So I'm trying to establish now this matter, that legalism is not a standard, and legalism is not rules, and legalism is not haircuts, and legalism is not modest dress, and legalism is not accentuating yourself from movies and dancing and disco and rock music. That's not legalism. And if you say it is, I wouldn't say it out loud because they may put you in the wrong Sunday school class next Sunday morning, Mrs. Smith's class, when you come. Now, I'm not making fun of them. I'm just saying that you don't know what you're talking about. And any preacher that says that standards are legalism doesn't know the Word of God. Either that or he's purposely lying to try to defend the fact that he has no standards and no convictions and no courage to stand against wrong and stand for what's right. I'm saying that legalism has to do with salvation and not obeying the Word of God concerning standards. Now, somebody says, oh, but preacher, in 2 Corinthians 3:17, it says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Oh, they like to say, where the Spirit of the Lord is, then there's liberty. Do what you want to do. No, you don't do what you want to do. There's not that kind of liberty where the Spirit of the Lord is. The truth is, once again, you're showing your ignorance there. And if I were you, I wouldn't talk in public if I thought that proved that the standards are wrong. No, the truth is, when it says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. That's 2 Corinthians 3:17. But that's not talking about your liberty. That's talking about the Holy Spirit's liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty for the Spirit to work in you and through you. That isn't saying, where the Spirit of the Lord is, you can drink or not drink. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, you can cuss or not cuss. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, you can go half naked or not go half naked. No, that's not what the Bible's saying. That's talking about the liberty the Spirit has to work through you. Now, one of the most amazing statements in the Bible, and don't turn to it because of time, but I want to read it to you, is this passage. This is our text tonight. I will walk at liberty because I seek thy precepts. Now, in the English it says here, for, or because, I will walk at liberty. And here's the reason. Because I seek thy precepts. Now, the word precepts in Psalm 119 is one of many words that deal with the Word of God. Sometimes it talks about the statutes, and sometimes it talks about the commandments. And sometimes it talks about the precepts. And sometimes it talks about the law. But all of these are different words. I don't know how many. I counted them one time. I imagine there might be a dozen or more words in Psalm 119 that deal with the commandments or the Word of God. So, in paraphrasing, it says this. I will walk at liberty because I keep thy commandments. Did you hear that? I will walk at liberty, not because I don't have to keep thy commandments. No, if you don't keep the commandments of God, you're not walking in liberty, you're walking in slavery. But in keeping the commandments of God, you have liberty. Now, I trace this verse, and in fact, everybody in the Bible that knows the Word of God, and that knows the Bible and the Word of God, let me paraphrase that little term like this. I will walk at liberty if I stay within the walls of the commandments. I will walk at liberty if I stay within the walls of the commandments. God is saying, I have built a wall around you, and that wall is made of my commandments. And God says, as long as you stay in that wall, you have liberty. If you get outside that wall, you have slavery or captivity or enslavement. Now, here's what it means. The analogy here, is a city, and that city is walled. And outside that city lurks the enemy. Now, listen carefully. This is the sermon. Don't miss this now. Outside that wall of that city is the enemy. And the enemy is trying to attack. But the enemy cannot attack through those walls because the walls are impregnable as far as the enemy is concerned. Now then, here you have the citizens on the inside of that wall. Let me ask you a question. If the enemy is out there, would you have more liberty inside the walls or outside the walls? Inside the walls. Because if you say, I have a right to go outside those walls, and you do have a right to go outside those walls, that's when you'll be captured. But inside the walls, you have liberty to go and come as you will. Now, the Lord is saying here that if you stay inside the walls of God's commandments and of God's word and of God's will, then you have liberty. But outside the walls, listen, basically, all the commandments of God form a wall around you, and those commandments are given to protect you from enslavement. They're given to prevent your captivity and not, well, you say, oh, Brother Hyam, I'm just cooped in. I want to get out and flap my own wings and out one of these rules and commandments and standards. No, the standards and commandments are not made to enslave you. The commandments and standards are made to keep you from those who will enslave you, and everything outside the wall will capture you and enslave you and put you in captivity. And so God is saying, as a city here is being attacked from the outside, and all around these walls there lurks the enemy. And God says that if you don't stay inside those walls, then the enemy will capture you and you won't be free anymore. So God says, if you'll stay inside the walls, then you will be free. Now, that means this. That means that the enemy is on the outside. And the enemy cannot reach you as long as you're inside the walls of the city. But as soon as you say, I don't believe in these walls, I don't believe in these standards, I don't believe in these rules, then you get outside the city and the enemy will capture you as soon as you think you exercise your freedom. What you're doing is giving up your freedom. And that's what this passage says. Now, if you choose to leave the confines of the walls, you'll have slavery. If you choose to stay within the confines of the walls, then you will have freedom to come and go. So, God does this. The wall does not enslave. The wall keeps and preserves freedom. If tonight we have some enemies come and a great crowd came to attack us, we lock the doors and we barricade the doors. And so I said, if you go outside those doors, somebody's going to capture you. They may kill you. They may hold you hostage. You go outside those doors. Now, if you want to stay free, you better stay inside the doors. Now, God says that His commandments are the barricaded walls. His commandments are the walls around the city. And ladies and gentlemen, standards do not take away your freedom. Standards preserve your freedom. Standards keep you within the walls from going outside the walls, and standards are walls that keep you from becoming a slave and losing your freedom. David said, the commandments are our walls, and all outside those walls of commandments are slaves. Every commandment of God, every standard in this book, when God says for men to get haircuts, and when God says you shouldn't steal or kill or commit adultery or covet or bear false witness or take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, or you should walk circumspectly from the world, and you shouldn't drink, and you shouldn't defile the body, and you ought to tithe, all those commandments of God are a part of a wall of security, and if you obey those commandments, you are free. But if you do not obey those commandments, you escape through those walls, and then outside, the enemy lurks to enslave you. Let me illustrate. Commandment says, thou, by the way, when I'm talking about the commandments of God, when God talks about that, He's not talking about the Ten Commandments only. He's talking about the Epistle of Romans and how to live in Hebrews and how to live in Ephesians and how to live in Galatians and all the epistles. He's talking about God's entire will for your life, plan for your life, and things you should not do. Now, one of those commandments is thou shalt not kill. Okay? You say, I am free. I'll kill if I want to. I hate these rules. I'm gonna free myself from the bondage of these rules, and I'll kill if I want to. I'm a free man. Oh, you are. Then why don't you get outside the wall of that commandment and kill somebody and see how long you remain a free man? So that commandment, thou shalt not kill, is not destroying your liberty. That commandment is helping you have liberty. Now, how many would agree that you'll be freer if you don't kill than if you do kill? Raise your hand. Way up high. Come on. Everybody, way up high. All right, put your hands down. Then let me ask you this. That's one of the ten what? And the Ten Commandments are part of God's commandments for our lives. Now, if living inside that commandment keeps us free, then living inside all the commandments will likewise keep us free. What are commandments? God's commandments and word and standards and rules and regulations are simply those things that will keep you from things, are you listening? That will keep you from things that will enslave you. Let's take this matter of sex sins. I'm talking about fornication. I'm talking about homosexuality. Let's just take, here's a young person that says, well, I'm tired of these rules. I don't believe in all this not kissing and not hugging and not going to lover's lane. I don't believe in all of that stuff. I'll do what I want to do. And so you go ahead and do it. And then what happens? You have gotten outside the wall. And once you light that fire, you've got a fire burning you can't put out. And before you know it, you are a slave to that sex sin. I mean, you say, I'll tell you what, I believe that the homosexuals ought to have their rights. Just hang around till they die. They'll get their rights. And there's nothing that irritates the fire out of me anymore. And for Christian people to swallow this hook, line, and sinker, this wicked philosophy that says homosexuality is just another lifestyle. It is not, any more than drinking is a lifestyle, any more than cussing is a lifestyle. Now you say, I'm free. I'll break the shackles and I'll be free. And so you go ahead and you walk through that wall. That wall that's there to keep you free and to keep you from that which would enslave you. And you get outside that wall, and then you'll find, before you know it, listen, they come to my office. It's almost impossible, Doc. It is almost impossible for a homosexual to be cured. In fact, check your Bible. It is the sin in the Bible that is the sin right before God gives up a people. You take the first chapter of Romans, and you'll find a list of all kinds of sins. You'll find fornication, and you'll find liberalism, and you'll find atheism, and you'll find self-worship, and you'll find all kinds of sins, drunkenness and reveling. And you get right down to the last line, and it says, God gave them up because they dishonored their bodies between themselves. And you check right before that dishonoring the body is men with men working that which is unseemly, and women with women working that which is unseemly. God is saying that when a society is destroyed, that the last link before God gets his axe out and breaks his judgment down is the sin of homosexuality. Now listen to me, young people. It may seem a little light to you. Here's a fella who says to one of you guys, let's try something new. First place, you doubled your fist up and you punched that little puny, peculiar guy right in the mouth. You say, oh, Brother Hiles, that is violence. Listen, you have my permission. Anytime some male comes up and propositions you, it might help make a man out of that thing. He says, I don't believe that. You don't have any choice here, Buster. I'm sorry, Bustress. You have no choice here. I'm saying that God, listen, check it. In the first chapter of Romans, you'll find the deterioration of the human race. It starts off, they knew God, but glorified Him not as God. And step by step by step by step, you have the decay and the decadence of the human race. And it comes down to homosexuality, and three times it says, God gave them up, God gave them up, and God gave them over. Now listen, you get outside the wall and say, I am free. This is a new age. Now, it's a hellish age, and a satanic age, and a God-forsaken age, and the age that's going to know the wrath of God Almighty if we don't somehow call this nation back to decency and right. But, you go ahead, young people. You go ahead. And by the way, don't you think that all the homosexuals are outside these four walls tonight? We got some of these little it's right here in this room tonight. Yes, we have. And I want to tell you something. You pick up your little newspapers and read what these liberal pussyfooters say all you want to, but my Bible still says it's S-I-N, sin, and the wrath of God's going to come down on it. But you say this is a liberated age. This is not a liberated age. This is an enslaved age. There are more people enslaved to homosexuality than any age our country's ever seen. There are more folks enslaved to liquor any age our country's ever seen. There are more folks enslaved to dope any age our country's ever seen. This is not the liberated age. This is the enslaved age. Why? Because rules, regulations, and commandments and standards are not destroyers of liberty. They are protectors of liberty. You take stealing. We have folks in this room that have had a real problem with stealing. And, well, this is liberated age. I am free to take what I want. You may be free, but the minute you decide to walk across that wall or go through that wall or climb that wall and get on the outside of God's commandments, then before you know it, you become a kleptomaniac, and that you thought was expression of your freedom becomes your captor, and you become enslaved trying to exercise your freedom. By the way, nobody has a freedom to destroy the freedoms of others. No communist has a right to exercise or propagate his doctrine in the United States of America. None. Well, you say this is a free country. This is not a country free so that we are able to destroy our freedoms. Your freedom stops when my freedom stops. And your freedom stops when you stop my freedom, yours stops. When I stop your freedom, mine stops. Now, let's take this matter of liquor. This is a liberated society. I'll tell you, I am a free man. I'm tired of Hiles Anderson College. I'm tired of Hammond Baptist High School. I'm tired of rules. I'm tired of them. Why, you poor little fool, you don't understand the first thing about rules. We're not trying to steal your freedom. We're trying to keep you free. And listen, there is not an alcoholic not a person that goes across that. Oh, you say, preacher, you're talking about alcoholics. I'm talking about drinking. Well, I've got news for you. There never has been anybody that became an alcoholic that didn't drink. And the devil has nothing but social drinkers as prospects for alcoholics. And you go ahead and strip yourself of all the standards and rules and call me a narrow-minded fool and make light of the standards and rules of this church and our school. Go ahead. But I'll guarantee you one thing. There'll be a day when you'll be enslaved worse than you've ever been in your life. And the slavery that you think you have now is a protection of your liberty and your freedom, because we are saying we're going to take all those things that will steal your freedom and destroy your liberty and put them outside that wall and build a wall of the commandments of God, and you stay inside that wall, you'll be free. You get outside that wall, you'll be enslaved. That's what it means when it says, I will walk at liberty because I keep thy commandments. It doesn't say, I will walk at liberty and no longer keep thy commandments. It says, I will walk at liberty because I keep thy commandments. Let's take this matter of dope. Narcotics. This liberated society. Ask the leading running back in the National Football League last year. Plays for the New Orleans Saints. Ask him if this liberated age gives you liberty. He's taking treatments now for being an addict. Ask the great running back for the San Diego Chargers. If taking dope is a part of liberation or a part of enslavement, he too is under treatment now for addiction. And I could go on and on and on tonight and show you that this modern liberated age, fostered, founded, and born in these so-called institutions of higher learning that are no more than institutions of lower devilment. And they breed and spawn in these institutions. Man is free. We're free. We're free. We're free. But the minute that you get so free, you cross the line of God's commandments and God's standards and God's boundaries, you are vulnerable then to that which does enslave you. and there is no enslavement. Ah, the liberal newspaper writers love to smoke their pot while they write and say they're out in a concentration camp at Hiles Anderson College. There's no concentration camp to compare with that concentration camp of dope addiction. There's no concentration camp to compare that concentration camp of alcoholism. There's no concentration camp to compare that concentration camp of kleptomania. There's no concentration camp to compare with that concentration camp of homosexuality. There is none. And if you want to be free, you must stay within the confines of the commandments of God Almighty. When I was inducted in the Army in World War II, I joined the paratroopers about 6 or 8 weeks after I was inducted, and for a while I was in the infantry. They shipped me to Fort Sam Houston, an 18-year-old lad. They sent me to Fort Sam Houston, Texas, in San Antonio, Texas, or near San Antonio. They put me in a barbershop and gave me a crew cut. I had those days big, bushy head of hair. Some of you folks have that picture I have of me, and I am. They gave me a crew cut, and then they put me in a tent. And the sergeant said, "Private Hiles, right behind your tent, 6 feet, there's a big fence. And that fence has barbed wire on the top of it. And that fence has electricity." He said, "Now see those folks on the other side of that fence." I said, "Yes." He said, "Now those are German prisoners of war." Now some of you folks are Germans. You can't understand how we felt about you in those days. I mean, you can't understand that. We thought all of you were little demons out of hell. And we were trained that way. I mean, we were trained. We thought that the Germans were super people. They thought they were, too, in those days, by the way. Mr. Hitler did. And so Dr. Evans reminded me today that both Hitler and I are called Chancellor. And I think he had derogatory remarks in mind. And they said, "Now, Mr. Hiles, you can't, Private Hiles, you can't go through that fence." Now, suppose I'd have said, "Well, you won't tell me what to do. This is a liberated society. I'll go where I want to go." Let me ask you a question. Are my chances of liberty better outside that fence or inside that fence? Outside that fence. I'm saying, well, outside, on the good side, where I was. Now, if I decide to say, "You don't tell me what to do, Sergeant Big Mouth. I'll do what I want to do. I am 18 years old. That's as old as you ever get. You know more, I know more now than I've ever known in all my life. I'm free. I'm tired of rules. I'm tired of standards. I'm tired of thou shalt not. I'm tired of it. I'm free. I'll take off the iron and the cuffs of slavery. I'll go across it." They'd have me barbecued by midnight. That's exactly what you're doing, some of you. You're saying, "I'm free." This is an age of freedom and liberation. I'm free. You hear me now? Hear me. Everybody in this room, hear what I'm saying now. You will never know 1 minute's freedom outside the boundaries of the commandments of God. You never will. No way. No way. The truth is, there's no way that anything can be operated without boundaries. A football field has a boundary line. If there are no boundaries, there's no game. A baseball field, by the way, you operate without boundary lines, you'll destroy the game of football. You operate without foul lines, you'll destroy the game of baseball. You operate without sidelines, you'll destroy the game of basketball. And you operate without standards and rules and commandments and right and wrong, and you'll destroy the game of life. Now, the term commandment means two things. One, it means the will of God. It means the will of God. Listen, God has a purpose for every life in this room. And if you say, "I am free to do what I want to do," then you are getting outside the boundaries of the wall that God has made for you, and you no longer can walk free. You say, what? You mean I've got to do what God wants me to do? To stay free, you do. Because God puts you in His will and says, in my will, you are free. But you get outside God's will, you have, listen, how many of you believe there is a will of God for every life? Raise your hand. I'm going to wait till everybody raise your hand. If you don't raise your hand, you don't believe it. Everybody. Okay, put your hands down. Now then, if there's a will of God, then outside that will, it would be whose will? So, there's no place for your will. You either serve in God's will or the devil's will. Now, who is more likely to capture you and hold you in slavery? God or the devil? The devil. Now, that means that you had better find God's will for your life if you want to be free. Now, God called me to preach. You ain't never seen no freer man than you're looking at right now. Never. I just double dog dare anybody to walk up after the service and say, I didn't like your preaching. You'll be fitted for false teeth tomorrow morning early. Because it's none of your business what I preach. But if I get outside the walls of what God wants me to preach, then I'm a slave. I know preachers tonight who have gotten outside the wall and what God wants them to preach, and they preach what the denomination wants. And they're slaves of the denomination. I know preachers that preach outside the what God wants them to preach, and because the deacons don't like it. And they're slaves to board of deacons. I know preachers that are slaves to their wives. I mean, some wives say, I don't like what you're preaching. And they're slaves, their families. I'm simply saying, unless you are in God's perfect will, you don't have any freedom. Because the will of God is a wall around you to block out those enemies that are freedom destroyers. And so is the commandment of God and the word of God. Listen to this verse. Go and tell Hananiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, thou hast broken the yokes of wood, but thou shalt make for them yokes of iron. That's one of the most important scriptures in all the Bible about standards and rules and commandments. Young people, if you could get this one truth tonight, you'd never be as happy in your life as you'll be if you'll decide to live according to the standards that are set up for you. There's not a staff in America that has more freedom than the staff, First Baptist Church Hammond. And that's because that staff has boundaries that protect it from the enslavers on the outside. There's not a college president of a Christian college in America, unless he's the founder, that has any more freedom. This man right here does. Now, why? Because Dr. Evans knows their boundaries. And within those few boundaries, he can romp and stomp all he wants to. Here's a little Chihuahua dog. I didn't think about Chihuahua because I was talking about you. But here's a little Chihuahua dog. And that little dog, he's inside a fence. He's fenced in. And here comes a big old bulldog outside the fence. A little dog Chihuahua. Won't you let him out? Little dog says, I want my freedom. I want my freedom. I want my freedom. I want my freedom. Woof freedom. Woof freedom. Woof, woof, woof freedom. I want to get out. I'm tired of you being inside the fence. You little Chihuahua, you better thank God you're inside that fence. I'm free to get out. I'm free to get out. Woof, woof, woof. I'm free to get out. I'm free to get out. Oh, my soul. And so, he come and let you out. And that bulldog will put salt and pepper and ketchup on you. And say grace. And you will go into animal husbandry. Some of you little chihuahuas. You little 16-year-old chihuahuas. You little 17, 18-year-old chihuahuas. Some of you Hiles Anderson College chihuahuas.
I'm free.
You get out from the fence of the rules we have in our school.
Listen to me. Hey, listen to me.
You get out from the rules we have in our schools about what's right and wrong, and you'll be as helpless and hapless at the hands of the devil and his crowd as a chihuahua would be with a great Dane dog outside the fence. You better listen to me. We're not trying to coop you up. We're trying to keep you from being cooped up. I'd rather be inside the fence than the belly of a great Dane. You say prove it. All right, you will. I will, since you asked me. The Bible says the devil is a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And what are you? Huh? Bible says, feed my lambs. So you're one of God's sheep, and there's nothing as helpless as a sheep. Nothing. And so, outside the will of God, outside the commandments of God, outside the rules of God, outside the standards of God, there's a lion, a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And you are no match for him. And the only hope you've got to retain your freedom is for you to stay inside the wall of the commandments and the will and the purpose of God. So you say, I'll drink all I want to drink. I said, no. And you're trading a yoke of wood that says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, whosoever receives there dies not wise. You're trading that fence for your freedom that will make you an alcoholic and make you more enslaved outside the fence than you would have been inside the fence. You traded yoke of wood for yoke of iron. I am free. If I want to smoke pot, I'll smoke pot. But did you know it's a lot easier for you inside? No, it's a lot easier to decide to smoke pot when you don't smoke pot than to decide not to smoke pot when you do smoke pot. Now follow me carefully. Here. I said again, it's a lot easier inside the fence when you decide to go outside the fence than it is when you're outside the fence to get inside the fence. So I'm asking a question then. Would you agree that it's easier to smoke pot if you don't smoke pot than to not smoke pot if you do smoke pot? Anybody ever get a son? Set up in a pew. Get up there and sit down. That's right. We don't sit in an aisle here. Let me ask you a question. Would you agree then? Would you agree that the person, it is easier to go from not smoking pot to smoking pot than smoking pot to not smoking pot? Amen? Then where's the slavery? Who's the slave? The that doesn't smoke who can, or does smoke who can't quit? Who's the slave? You poor little ignoramus. You poor dumb bunny. You say, I'll be free. You've been reading the liberal magazine. You've been reading this modern philosophy. That's what Mr. Elvis Presley said. Elvis Presley probably did more to destroy this country than any other people except the Beatles. I met him. I was taking a tape, a radio broadcast, to Stoney Hotel in Dallas, Texas. I was on every morning. I took a tape down. But I was going to be out of town. I got on the elevator. And the elevator operator took me up to the 11th floor, the top floor of the Stoney Hotel, where the station was. I left my tape. But going up, the little operator said, ooh, he kissed me. Ooh. I said, who? She said, Elvis. Elvis Presley was staying in that hotel. And coming back down, on the elevator, I said, Elvis, my name is Jack Hyams. He had on a green satin garb. I said, do you know if you died, you'd go to heaven? He looked at me very seriously. He said, I was saved and called the name of the church, but he said, I'm not living for God now. What did he do? Not only did he get outside of the fence of the commandments of God, and he found there's more slavery. Did Elvis get freedom when he got outside the will of God, or did he get slave? Ask his doctor. Ask him. I'll be free! Check with Elvis. He got outside the standards and outside the will of God and outside the commandments of God and outside the rules of his mom and his dad and his church and his Christian school, his head one. Outside! And he found what every single one of you is going to find. There's not liberty and freedom out there. There's slavery. in captivity out there. Football players. Coach gives some rules. I'll guarantee you. I'll guarantee you. The Chicago Bears, this year, with their added rules, will find more liberty than they ever found last year with their loose rules. And they'll find more happiness, too. You can laugh all you want to at the Vince Lombardi and the George Allens, the George Shulas, and call them hard taskmasters, all you want to. But what they're doing is they're building fences around their players. When they say, you got to be in by 11:30 at night, that's a fence to keep them being enslaved. What goes on after 11:30 at night? A school is doing you a favor when the school builds standards around you. Fellas, the Navy and the Army, when I was in the paratroopers, we had rules. And do you know we had 10 times as good an Army, and it's the God's truth, and Navy as we have now? You know, one time I wore on a furlough. When I was in, you couldn't wear civvies. You wore your outfit everywhere you were. I recall one time I forgot my cap when I went downtown. And I had to sleep in my dress outfit for a week. I'm talking about tie, coat, we call them blouses. But I never liked the term myself, blouse. But my army blouse, a jacket, had to sleep in it. And had some rules and regulations. When I was a paratrooper, in training, we had to run. We went to the dining hall, mess hall. More mess than it was dining, too. And went down the mess hall, and we had to run. Went down the day room, had to run. Went down to the orderly room, had to run. We got outside the barracks. We couldn't walk, had to run. You say, Brother Hiles, that's slavery. No. No, that's pride. Rules bring pride. Your parents are doing you a favor when they have rules. A favor. Your parents are doing you a favor when they have boundaries and fences and rules. What are these rules? These are rules to keep you at liberty instead of in slavery. David knew. David got his freedom. Hey, by the way, he's a guy who wrote this too. He could testify about it. He still wrote this. He's one that said, I will walk at liberty because I keep the commandments. Because David knew what it was to get outside the commandments of God. And when David got outside the commandments of God, David knew he lost his liberty. Because David found out that the commandments of God were protectors, were pickets in a wall, or bricks in a wall. They were given for his protection of his freedom and not the destruction of that freedom. Samson knew it. Look at Samson. I am a liberated man. And there's not a liberated woman alive that has more freedom now than she had before she got liberated. Not a one. Samson said, I'm a liberated man. I live... I'll do my own thing. And he went to a woman barber. I'd never do that. No way, no way, no way. I was in a barber shop in Houston, Texas one day, a big old shop. I sat down, didn't look at the barbers or barberettes. And all of a sudden heard a voice saying, you're next. I looked up and said, no, I'm not. Oh. I got my coat and hat, took off the door. She said, where are you going? I said, I'm going where Samson ought to went. I said, none of you Delilah's going to put scissors to my hair. That's Samson. Samson said, I am free. I'll do what I want to do. He got outside the walls of God's commandments. Check with him when they put his eyes out and hooked him up to the mill and made him grind at the mill. Check with old Samson. As he was grinding at that mill, with his eyes gouged out, going round and round and round and round and round, and bound, round and round, blind and bound and grinding at the mill. Samson, old boy, boy, let anyone bang, I sure will congratulate you. You decided to be a free man. He said, free nothing. I'm bound to this mill. Oh, congratulations, Samson. You belong to liberated society. Liberated nothing. I can't even see. I'll tell you another thing, too. Those three things will happen to you when you get outside the wall of the commandments of God. First place, you will be bound. The second place, you will be blinded. And the third place, you will be in a grind the rest of your life. Because you have not realized that commandments and rules and standards are to preserve you from those who would bind you and those who would enslave you. Lot knew. Lot got his freedom. Abraham, Uncle Abraham, I want my freedom. You ask Lot whether he was more free in Abraham's house with Abraham's rules, or out in a little city called Zoar with a couple of daughters pregnant by his own incest. His wife turned a pillar of salt in the city that he went to. Two cities he went to were leveled by fire and brimstone. You look at Mr. Lot and ask Mr. Lot where freedom was, inside the commandments of God or outside the commandments of God. Nebuchadnezzar knew. Nebuchadnezzar said, I'll be free. I'll be liberated. And God for 1 year made him an animal. Made him crawl on his all fours. You know why God made him an animal? God said, you're acting like an animal, I'll make you crawl like one. I put you down on all fours for 1 year. He grew feathers and got on his all fours and crawled like an animal in the woods. Ask Mr. Nebuchadnezzar whether he had more freedom inside the commandments of God or outside the commandments of God. Ask Marilyn Monroe. Ask this creature that was on this Saturday Night Live who took too much of it. Ask him where the freedom is. You take your choice. You take your choice. You go ahead and complain and gripe and say, I'll be glad when I can get away from home. Hey, kids, listen to me. I'll be glad now I'm free. I'll get away from home. Wait till the rent comes due. Tired of these rules. Every parent in this room, every single parent in this room tonight who loves his children or loves her children, though some of the rules may not be necessary, the motive behind every rule, young people, hey, I'm talking to you. I've got something to say to you. The motive behind every rule is not to enslave you, but to keep you inside a wall so the things that do enslave you can't get to you. That's the whole purpose of it. Now you take your choice. There's more freedom in this room, and more people free in this room tonight than in all the liberal churches in Indiana put together. Because the only freedom mankind can know is when the rules of the game build a wall around the player so that he cannot get out. I'm thinking about a funny story. This is not the time to tell it toward the end of the message, but it's so illustrative, I've got to tell it. And this is it. A fellow called a tavern keeper at midnight one night. And he said, what time do you open tomorrow morning? And the tavern keeper said, 8:00. At 1:00 in the morning, the same fellow called the tavern keeper again. And he said, what time do you open tomorrow morning? He said, 8:00. I told you a while ago. At 2:00 in the morning, the same fellow called the same tavern keeper and said, what time do you open? He said, sir, I've told you now. 3 times I open at 8:00 tomorrow morning. At 4:00 in the morning, the same fellow called the same tavern keeper and said, what time do you open? He said, look, sir, I have not gotten any sleep tonight. It's your fault. He said, I open at 8:00. And And he said, if you'll be there exactly 8 o'clock, I promise I'll let you in the tavern first. And the fellow said, I'm not trying to get in. I'm trying to get out. Do you see that fellow was almost illustrating? Ask a question. Was he a slave? Yeah. Yeah. And I'll guarantee you, it's 10,000 times easier. Hear me. And you have a lot more freedom and find it a lot easier. If you do not go to taverns, you'll find it much easier to go than you will if you do go to taverns to quit going. Now, if that be the case, where is the freedom? Inside the room or outside the room? You'll never hear anything plainer than Psalm 119, verse 45, concerning the purpose, standards, and rules, and do's and don'ts. To put it as Mama used to say it, and I never believed her, but I do now. Son, it's for your own good. And though that's as trite as God is love, it is as true as God is love. There is more freedom inside the walls of this blessed book and of the rules made for you by those who know this blessed book than there is outside those walls. You have your choice. A yoke of wood or a yoke of iron. Inside the walls, a yoke of wood. With this I'm through. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Heavy laden. Heavy laden. That's the yoke of iron. Huh? And then it goes right on down to say, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden light. He said, come on, you folks with yokes of iron, heavy laden. He didn't say, I won't give you a yoke. But he said, my yoke is light. My yoke is easy.